I'm not going to say I'm tired of fashion, because that would be awfully dull, but I am in my 50s. I surely must know now what suits me. Maybe there's a touch of mutton in me. Or should I admit I'm in an awful rut of wearing gym clothes all day and night? And maybe my Uniqlo gilet is getting a bit too comfortable. Now's the time to finally find out what suits me and suits you. Where can we go to get new ideas, classic style? Well, today I'm sitting on the sofa with a woman who launched Vogue in Russia, India and Turkey. She was also deputy editor of Condé Nast International. She even helped Princess Diana with styling. And I really think she did need styling. She is Anna Harvey, and I'm here to talk about her gorgeous new book, Age of Style. Oh, and I must say also, you now write a monthly column for The Telegraph. Hello, Anna, and welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hello, Jo. Very nice to meet you. Thank you for your interest in my book.
It's a gorgeous welcome onto Radio Gorgeous. Tell us what style, what is timeless style? What does it do and what does it not do?
Well, it's an imperfect science. The book itself is not laying down rules. It's more of a conversation piece. I wanted people, you know, over 50, to realise that, you know, it's not hopeless anymore if they've put on a bit of weight or the hair's causing problems because it's going grey. And I wanted people to feel good about themselves. So the whole point of the book's feel good about yourself. But it does mean, I think, making an effort. You mentioned in your introduction, you know, the Uniqlo gilet and the, you know, the track pants and all the rest of it. And, you know, it's very tempting to get up and go to bed in more or less the same thing every day. We have got, I believe, to make an effort. I find, you know, when I'm in the country where I spend a lot of time, that, you know, the jeans and the big sweater and the outdoor shoes work brilliantly. And I'll drive up to London wearing them. But as I'm driving up to London, I'll be thinking, now, if I'm going to London now, I think I probably need to get out of this uniform and into something else. And I think we all need to be thinking that more of the time. I think one's got to, you've got to make an effort, not just for yourself, but for those around you. I think must never give up, ever.
Fantastic. I'll take that on board. So your fashion friends give advice in the book as well. It's a beautiful book. You've got Donna Karan, Christy Turlington, Grace Coddington and Susie Menkes. Can you tell us one of their favourite tips?
Golly, I haven't done my homework on this one. But what was lovely about all four that you just mentioned was when I got in touch with them, they replied by return, Christy, within sort of a couple of hours, with lots of wonderful advice. And, you know, she's one of the world's most beautiful women, and she's in her 40s. So she's probably the youngest person that contributed to the book. And I was so touched by that. And, you know, she's a most remarkable young woman. Grace kept me on the phone for about 45 minutes. She had so many tips. I could have written a second book, you know, I just called it Grace, her tips. Susie, of course, I've worked with for all my career, and she has a very much her own style. She wears Pleats Please by Izzy Miyake, and she wears other things, of course, but she feels very comfortable in that. She loves colour. She loves to make a statement. Grace Coddington wears a lot of black, but she does say one of the tips is, you know, perhaps wear, instead of buying a black or a white shirt, buy a brightly coloured shirt as you grow older. And don't swamp yourself in huge clothes, but, you know, get clothes that fit on the shoulder and skim over the hips. And I thought that was a brilliant tip, actually. And Donna Karan, well, she's marvellous because she's always dressed real people, the image of the real woman who is imperfect, if you like. I mean, of course, she's dressed all the supermodels, including Christy as well, but she is very aware that people have proper bodies, proper dimensions, and that those fluctuate with all the changes that go on in a woman's life. And I think she has a wonderful understanding, and always has done, of what I call the proper female body.
Okay, so you've talked about the proper female body, which obviously bodies are intrinsic to fashion. So what happens to us when we age? What's the difference, Anna?
Well, in my experience, and those that I, friends that I know well, as you grow older and you know, you have to tackle the menopause and, you know, various other things as you grow older, I think that, you know, your waist thickens, I read an article the other day that said if you take HRT, your bosoms can get quite a lot larger. Mm. You know, there are lots of changes that women have to put up with. Sometimes you can shrink a bit. Mm. I gather that your spine can contract slightly as you grow older. So then I think in the main, you get rounder. I mean, some people, and I have friends, have got much more slender, or they've retained a very slender figure. But it is not the norm in my experience. Most people get a bit rounder, and I'm absolutely for that, because I think in carrying a little bit of weight, your face ages far more slowly, and a little bit of plumpness in the cheeks or chin area is no bad thing. And I mean, I'm not against Botox or anything like that, but carrying a little bit of weight can also have a similar effect, because it plumps things out a bit.
Okay, so I've accepted that I've got a few lumps and bumps. Let's talk about underwear, because that's important, you say in your book.
I think underwear is very important. I mean, I was, you know, grew up in a generation braless girls, and then we got the thong and everything, and you know, so you know, it was all quite liberal in those days. But now, I've gone back to those days when I was at school, and one used to actually draw the curtain before one changed, because one felt modest and didn't want everyone to see everything. And now I feel rather the same with my body. You know, I don't want to expose it all the time, because it is very much less than perfect now. And I think when you get dressed, sometimes it's not, you can't just put on a nice soft jersey or knitted garment unless you've got proper foundation garment on, and depending on your figure, so the foundation garment must change. But you don't want lots of elastic showing under your trousers, your jeans, whatever
BPL.
You're wearing. BPL,
yeah.
Visible panty line, for those of you that don't know. And I think if you're wearing a sort of body-hugging dress, and you're a little bit like me, lumps and bumps through the midriff, I think one of those all-in-one garments, nobody ever needs to see you in it, by the way, but if you put it on, it gives you a feeling of security. It smooths down the thigh, it smooths down the waistline, and you can get them where you can wear your own bra, and, you know, they come up over the shoulder, but they go under the bra, so you can wear your own best love bra, but the rest of your body is, you just feel so much better.
So it gives you a nice line.
Line
it?
Is the word. Yeah. Thank you very much. Silhouette, line, image. Mm. Yep.
Fabulous.
Definitely.
So you'd buy a kind of sort of bodice, you advise. So what I also wanted to ask was, what about, because I picked out kind of little sections, what about jeans? Because you've already mentioned them. We do live in them. When should we wear them? When shouldn't we wear them? What colour should we be buying?
Well, I think darker jeans are always more flattering. I think a pair of white denim trousers in the summer are very good. I think very fitted white jeans.
Not skinnies.
Well, not skinnies unless you really have still got the figure. You know, people do retain amazing figures well into old age. And, you know, they're jolly lucky. But in general, people don't. And I think a sort of cigarette trouser, you know, a narrow straight leg trouser, is so much more flattering than one with so much lycra in it that, you know, you can almost see the sort of hair follicles through it. I think that it's more dignified somehow. I don't mind jeans at all. I just think, you know, faded old blue jeans, day in, day out, is not the greatest look, to be honest. It's very lazy. And I think it's fine in the garden. As I earlier mentioned, I wear them in the garden in Sussex. And I'm, you know, there is a time and a place. They're great. They're an amazing. You know, there's a reason why millions and millions and millions of pairs are sold every year. But I do think we're talking about women over 50, that, you know, a pair of dark blue jeans, fine, but keep them clean. And, you know, don't wear them too many times, because they do bag at the knee and sag at the bum. And colours, you know, some colours, white for the summer, and, you know, experiment with other colours of jeans. But I'm also a great fan of trousers. I don't think they have to be jeans, but denim is very, it's a hard-wearing, robust and practical fabric, so.
It is, it is. So now, shoes. I remember someone saying, the way, when you get older, look after your teeth and your feet, and you will, you know, age more gracefully because, you know, you won't run into problems. Can you tell us about shoes? What height should we would be wearing? Should we still be wearing the fuck me stilettos?
Well, I'm not for those last ones you mentioned particularly. I used to wear them. I suppose, in my 40s and probably in my 50s, I was still going out in the evening in very, very high Manolos or Jimmy Choo's or whatever, and felt $1 million, and felt better, actually, because they, you know, the high heel makes your deportment so much more erect. And so, but it, you know, from a practical point of view, I found that began to feel incredibly uncomfortable. And actually became sort of agonising. And I don't know enough about, you know, feet to know why that should happen as you grow older. But my feet just got exhausted, completely pavement battered, exhausted things. So I sort of lowered the heel gradually. And now I think the kitten heel, I see it's coming back, which is very exciting. The kitten heel is perfect for somebody like me. And
it's because from the front it looks like a dress shoe.
It does.
And then from behind it's got this small heel, so it gives you a tiny bit of height, which apparently is better for you from the flat. And it just gives you the outfit an elegance.
It does. It completely and absolutely does. Mm. I think that the very flat shoe, if you're tall and got, you know, good legs, is a brilliant alternative. But it doesn't work.
Can't it make your feet look a bit like boats?
It can. You've got to be quite careful about really flat shoes. But I'm not against really flat shoes. You've just got to take advice and look in the mirror from every angle and maybe try them on with, you know, with different trousers or a different skirt or
now,
something.
In the winter, we can't wear kitten heels. What would you say is an alternative, a smart alternative?
What, to go out in?
Yeah.
Well, I've just bought myself a pair of Church's loafers.
Fabulous.
You know, take me back to school or
yes.
what? And actually, they are so comfortable, so practical, and I can't tell you how many people have commented.
Now, are these men's shoes?
Well, I suppose Church's are a men's manufacturer, aren't they? They're in Northampton or something.
But
the ones I bought are ladies' ones, yes, but they're quite clumpy.
Yeah.
Make no mistake, they are quite...
What colour are they?
They're black. They're like old-fashioned school shoes.
Mm.
And I a very, very well-dressed friend of mine saw me the other day. She said, oh, my goodness, she said, those shoes look so chic. And I hadn't thought of it like that because I'd bought them as a practical pair of shoes. And you know how sometimes odd things can be quite smart?
Mm.
And because they're slightly clumpy and old-fashioned, they are, I think, quite chic, actually.
And you wear them, would you only wear them with trousers?
No, I wear them with skirts and with a dress. But I wear them with opaque tights. They're too clumpy for me if I had a naked leg or nude tights.
Yeah.
I think I'd feel my feet looked bottom heavy, definitely.
Because those tights kind of withdraw the leg back and then you just notice the shoes.
I think so. And then I think that applies to any, you know, clumpy, big shoe, whether it be a platform or any one of these rather strange and terribly ugly shoes that they're trying to sell us at the moment.
I agree. Now, you have touched on it, but grooming is obviously vital when we get older. Why?
Well, I think it's vital at any age, really, but obviously the young don't need it as much. I think it's very tempting to think nobody's going to look at your fingernails or your toenails or your roots growing out in your hair. The thing is that people do notice these things. And, you know, if I'm watching a newscaster on television, you know, I don't know what it is, but I will notice if her hair hasn't been recently washed. Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
No, I my mother completely decides on her new haircut by one of the newsreaders. I mean, nowadays they are becoming our style gurus because we see them on telly all the time.
We do, and you do. You take your cue from them, then you're disappointed if they fall short of your high standards. So I think that I do feel, I've always felt grooming is incredibly important. Having said that, you know, I'm the same as everybody else. Sometimes you don't have the time to go and spend a morning in the hairdresser. Or, you know, you just don't have the time to go down the road and have a manicure.
Mm.
And so you put it off and you put it off. And when I put it off, I start to bite my nails and I bite the sides of my fingers, which, and, you know, they look absolutely dreadful. And I don't know, I'm sure other people probably have a similar problem. So and think, I find I stop yeah. it. Mm. I stop the biting if I go to the manicure. Mm. And the thing is, to get to the manicurist before I start to bite my and make my fingers bleed.
So you spend a bit of money on it and then you kind of respect your hands and think, I'll give my hands some time now.
I do. And then I hand cream when I go to bed at night, very important. And foot cream, they do great foot creams now, which keep your heel softer. I know, isn't this glamorous what we're talking about? and the hair is also incredibly important. A good cut. First and foremost, most important thing is a good cut. And sometimes it might mean travelling to your local county town or to the...
Even up to London if you don't live in London.
Up to London if you don't live in London. But take advice, find a friend who's got a good hairdresser and go and spend that extra and get a good cut. It should last you, depends how long your hair is, should last a minimum of 6 weeks. I leave it 6 weeks, sometimes 2 months. And then, you know, the fringe gets into your eyes and everything and you've...
That's what I wanted to say, because hair, I mean, I have noticed my mum now finally is, you know, she always had a bob. She's had her hair cut short. She's in her 70s. It looks fabulous. When do we go for the shorter hair? You've got shorter hair now.
Well, I've got shorter hair, yes. I don't know. I think I don't mind longer hair on older women, actually. Mm. I think too long and unkempt.
Looks a bit freaky.
Well, it does look quite strange. And I think there's, you know, but I think shoulder length hair, whatever age you are, is absolutely fine. I like shoulder length hair. My hair was shoulder length for, you know, the last 20 years. And it's only just recently that I've had this very, very short cut. Mm. And I don't know, maybe I'll grow it again. I hope, you know, we'll see. But
don't
I do
you think
go
shorter hair does, it raises up the face, doesn't it? Don't you find?
Well, I think if you haven't had lots of work done on your face, the short hair is probably more becoming. Having said that, if you've got double chins that you've not done anything about, I often wonder if my hair were down to my shoulder, if that would disguise the fact that I've got a double chin. And the fact that I've cut the hair short exposes the double chin. I haven't actually got a straight answer out of anybody on that subject.
Just to let you know, to me, you have no double chin.
Thank you very much.
It's only you've looked in a bad mirror once, I promise.
Well, you would say that, I suppose. But anyway, you know, these things are challenging. And sometimes, you know, ask a daughter or a goddaughter or somebody that really cares about how you look as their mother or their relation. They may not have the answer, but it's very difficult, I think, making decisions about your own image, I have to say. And I've had, you know, years of experience in the business of fashion imagery, and I find it difficult. So what people out there, I mean, it's a terribly difficult challenge to look your best and feel comfortable and confident about
it. So what has been the response to the book?
It's had an incredibly positive response. I'm so excited by it because you don't know. I've never done anything like that before. I had no idea what reception it would have. And, it went on sale on Amazon, and amongst all the, I haven't looked for ages actually, but you can review a book on Amazon. And a couple of the first reviews were rather negative, and I went into a total slough of despond and sort of thought, oh my God, why did I do this? It's so depressing. And then there was a flood of nice things about it, and then the press picked it up and loved it. I mean, the Daily Mail just gave me 3 pages. I mean, fantastic. So everyone has been incredibly supportive, and it's, you know, selling really well. And I couldn't be more surprised and thrilled.
Also, Anna, you did the illustrations in the book.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you tell us about those?
Well, we were going to use, you know, a proper illustrator. And I can't remember quite how the accident happened that somebody saw a tiny drawing I'd done of a shoe. And I have to say, the drawings of the shoes in the book are the best things about my drawing.
I did notice them. Yeah.
Anyway, and I think they reported back to the publisher, and I think the publisher, for whatever reason, thought, well, let's get Anna to do the drawings. So they asked me if I would, so I started, and actually I got worse as I went on, because I'm not a trained artist. I mean, I can scribble a bit. Anyway, they've, in the main, received, you know, people have been charmed by them because they're by me and they're part of the book. So I think we got away with it.
Fabulous.
But nobody's booked me to illustrate their book. for the future, I have to say.
I just have to ask, because Britain has the best high street in the world. You've got a section on it. Where should we go on the high street and where should we avoid?
Golly. Well, I think it's slightly seasonal. I think in the summer you can go almost anywhere and you can buy really inexpensive clothes from all those huge high street stores at very little, and you can go off on a holiday and you can throw them away when you come back, if that's what you want to do, because they probably won't survive that long. So that's the summer. In the winter, I think, you know, those same less expensive high street shops really aren't much good to you and me. I think that you've got to actually invest a bit more in clothes for the winter, and we have a much longer winter here than we have so a summer.
Where would you say to go then for our winter wear?
Well, this is personal, but for me, I love COS. I go to COS, I go to Uniqlo. We were a bit rude about the
I live in the gilet, you see.
Well, so do we all, don't we? And they're brilliant at all that. And they're brilliant at knits. And I think Gap still has some very good, you know, what I call sort of classics, but not expensive. And then at the slightly more expensive...
What about a coat and things?
Well, yes, I haven't bought a coat for a while, but when I bought one at Marni once, but that sort of was, you know, King's Ransom, but it's beautiful and I still have it. I have a lovely COS coat. Then I have a Burberry raincoat, which sees me through thick and thin. And if I had to go out tomorrow and buy a new coat, I've spent a lot of time researching. You mentioned the Telegraph column. A lot of time researching in the big stores because I felt rather out of touch. And I went into places like John Lewis and Debenhams. And in Debenhams, you have wonderful labels like J. Jasper. Wonderful coats. And not expensive.
Fabulous.
And then in John Lewis, they have people like Bruce Oldfield.
But like a diffusion line.
Yes, and really, really good value. They're very straightforward, all these things, but they're good quality at a fantastic price. And they're well designed. And I was really encouraged. So actually, there isn't so much need to feel you've got to spend a lot of money. You can check out those, you know, places like John Lewis and Debenhams and just see. You'd be surprised. You won't like everything. I certainly didn't. But if you go to the right departments, and they have a lot of concessions there, there are some extremely nice clothes. I don't mean to sound surprised. It's just that I hadn't really been down that route for a long time.
No, you've been too busy in international vogue.
Something
I'm
like
so honoured to meet you. Anna Harvey, Timeless Style, Dressing Well for the Rest of Your Life is out now and it's published by Double Barrel Books. Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
Well, thank you. I feel very privileged. I've thoroughly enjoyed it and your interest in the book is very flattering. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.